Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank, praise, and glorify you for this day, for the privilege of being called here by your Spirit, that we might worship you, that we might sing praises to your holy name, that we might lift up prayers to you, that we might come before you in confession of our sins, and hear once again the words of our forgiveness and absolution. Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you for your word, which was read to us and that we share in. And we thank you, Father, now for the opportunity to apply your word unto our lives. So we ask, Father, that the words spoken, the words heard, would be all to the praise of your glory by the power of the Holy Spirit, that our faith might be increased, our love for you expanded, and our joy in our salvation increased. All this we ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The text for this morning's consideration is the psalm, which you read a few moments ago. I'm going to only read a few verses of it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. You may be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, as I mentioned earlier, today is the last Sunday of the Easter season. That by no means means we will stop celebrating Easter. Why? Because he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And that's why we're here today on a Sunday. We're here the first day of the week to celebrate our Lord's resurrection on the first day of the week. And so as we come here today, and in all Sundays, it's like a little Easter for us. So we'll be celebrating Easter for the rest of this year and into next year until we gather again at that empty grave about a year from now. But we praise God that we have this privilege that he's called us here today. Today also, as I mentioned earlier, and as we all know from our bulletin, and probably just know anyway, today is Mother's Day. Now, Mother's Day has traditionally been a cultural festival, usually not celebrated by liturgical churches in worship. We may mention Mother's Day in passing, or we may have a prayer for mothers, but usually it's not a celebratory event for us. It's a time we recognize moms. And how many of you here are mothers? I'm glad to see that none of the men raised their hands. How many of you have or had mothers? Most of us, isn't that correct? And don't we praise God for our moms? Usually, right? Usually. I have a friend who really does not care for his mom at all. In fact, he openly says he hates her. And that's shocking, isn't it? It's shocking that person would say that with such vitality, such vigorousness, that I hate my mom. I just hate my mom. And yet, twice a month, that individual who worships elsewhere will go to the altar and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in communion with his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, he praises God for his forgiveness of sins. But the hatred dwells deep within him. Mother's Day can be tricky like that, can't it? I'm sure most of us remember some event or some situation with our moms that we'd like to forget, right? I remember one time when I was being nasty, really nasty. My mom wanted me to do something, and I didn't want to do it. I forget what it was, but I remember what I did instead. I tried to kick her. I may have been 5 or 6 years old, but I kicked out at my mom. And unfortunately, I had a house slipper on, and it flew off my foot. It went up in the air. And the tenement we lived in had transoms over the doors going from one room to the next. And on the windowsill, Mom had placed a favorite vase of hers, or vase if you prefer. And when I kicked off that slipper, it went tumbling up, hit the vase, causing it to bounce against the glass and come crashing down on the floor. Now, that's something I choose to forget. But during my life, my mom had a tendency to tell that story, usually to my embarrassment. Well, you know, I'm sure that she forgave me because I can tell you there are many, many times when I found myself misbehaving and really hurting my mom's feelings, because she had high expectations for us, and I was probably the most mischievous of the four children. And I can remember her saying, son, you just disappointed me. You broke my heart. And I can remember with tears, I would go up to her and I would say, Mom, can you forgive me again? And she would reach down and she said, of course I forgive you. You're my son and I love you. And she'd hug me tight. That's probably the thing I miss most about my mom is the hugs. She always would hug me and she'd say, there, my boy, I love you. And she called me her boy. And I was the oldest son. But, you know, those times of our childhood come back to us. But then there are times, right? There are times when we may not have a wonderful memory of our parents, either mom or dad. And sometimes we keep those feelings in our heart. But today we come before the altar of God and we celebrate Mother's Day and we look at the lessons that we have today and how do they speak to Mother's Day? Well, first, a little bit about Mother's Day. You know, there was no Mother's Day as we know it today until approximately 1907. In 1907, a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis celebrated at her mother's home church her mother's life. And that became the first Mother's Day. And other churches heard about it. And pretty soon, across the nation, congregations were recognizing their mothers. And then in 1914, finally, President Woodrow Wilson assigned a national declaration passed by Congress that holiday of Mother's Day would be celebrated nationally on the second Sunday of May. Following that, the holiday became somewhat commercialized, hasn't it? And a lot of people say, well, Mother's Day was only invented so Hallmark can sell cards. Well, I don't know if it's true, but we buy cards, right? That's what we do in our culture. And flowers. Flowers are perhaps the single most purchased item on Mother's Day, not only in the United States, but across the world. In England, they celebrate Mother's Day at another time, and they call it Mothering Sunday. And they celebrate that on the fourth Sunday in Lent with special observances and, of course, bouquets of flowers given to mothers and grandmothers and aunts and great-aunts and other women who've touched their lives. And for many people, it's one of the greatest holidays of the year other than Christmas, to remember Mom. And as years went by, of course, and we had to have equality, and we have Father's Day now. And we'll talk about that perhaps next month, right? But liturgically, Mother's Day is, we don't find it in our liturgy. We don't find, when we look at the liturgical calendar for the year, something that says Mother's Day. But today we're going to celebrate Mother's Day, and we're going to recognize it, because it's very important that we not only give a nod to Mother's Day, but that we take time to truly ponder the unique gift that we have in our parents. Whether we like them or not, they gave us life. And in the life that they gave us, we have come to know Jesus. Some of us perhaps because of our parents, and some of us perhaps because of our grandparents or other people in our lives, we come to know Jesus. And it says here in the Psalm for today, blessed is the one who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It's in the law of the Lord that we meditate day and night. Now, the word meditate can also be translated murmur. We murmur, that is, we talk to ourselves, remembering the law of God, and we recite it to ourselves, and we murmur about it, and we think about it, and we meditate upon the law of God. And how does that tie into Mother's Day? Well, we all know. How many of you remember this book? Right? Your small catechism. Maybe yours was a different color. Maybe it's the new black one. But remember this book, don't we? And in here we have the Ten Commandments. And now it's interesting. We talk about the Ten Commandments. We have the first three commandments, which talk about our relationship with God and what we owe to God. And then the rest of the commandments are considered the commandments of natural order, of how we live our life. But the fourth commandment, the one that comes between the commandments about God and the commandments about our relationship with others, is the commandment about our parents. And I think God specifically placed that as the bridge between him and us and the rest of our life. And God says this, honor your father and your mother, And some of you may remember if you're in your childhood and confirmation class, the pastor would say, "What does this mean?" And we would all say this: we should fear and love God, that we do not despise or anger our parents or other authorities. Some of you may have learned masters, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them. This is most certainly true. And so Luther, in his wisdom, said it's not enough just to make that explanation of the fourth commandment, but it must be tied squarely with Scripture. So from Proverbs, Proverbs 23, verse 22, the writer says, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old." Romans 13, 2. "He who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." In Ephesians 6, verse 2 through 3. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now, this is good news, isn't it? It's the promise of God. No less a promise than the promise of salvation by grace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is a promise from God. Very clearly, God makes it very, very clear. "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Pardon me. And then in 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, 4th verse, we read this: "If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to the Lord." And we can go on and on. Colossians, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." Proverbs, "Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old," and so on. So how does that tie to Mother's Day? Well, very simply, isn't it? God says, honor what? Your father and mother. Well, in the first Psalm for today, it says, "Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is on the law of the Lord." And so here we are called by God to honor our mothers and fathers. But there's nowhere in the Scripture can you find any place where it says we must do that only until they passed away. All of us here, I'm sure some of you still have mothers and fathers, but some of our parents have passed away. Our loyalty to them does not end when we walk away from that cemetery. Our loyalty goes on to them forever and ever in this world, and however God devises the next world, because they are a special gift to us. We honor our mothers and fathers today by trying to do the right things that they taught us to do. Many years ago, I was with my dad. We were shopping in a grocery store, and I was in college, and I was thinking I was a pretty smart guy, and we were shopping in a grocery store, and in those days, the clerk still had to ring up every item separately, and this lady was unbelievably slow. And finally, I said to her, "Can't you speed it up a bit? You know, there's a line behind this. Don't you understand? Your job is to get us through here quickly." My dad stepped back and he looked at me. He said, "Son, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, she's slow." He said, "That's enough of that." He said, "Lady, please continue." When we got back to the car, my dad said to me, "I am so disappointed and heartbroken by you. You know, you belittled that lady. You took away every ounce of dignity that she had in front of all the other people in the line. That's not what we've taught you, and that's not what God wants from you." "Everybody," he said, "gets up in the morning, takes a shower, do whatever they do, and goes off to work or to whatever they're going to do, with the hope, at least, that they end their day with their dignity intact. Your job and my job, son, is to help them along that path. Honor our fathers and mothers, even today. Our fathers and mothers have set for us the standard of behavior, hopefully from the scriptures. If they haven't, there's been some other adult along the way who's helped us come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus. Perhaps it was a Sunday school teacher. Perhaps it's a pastor. Perhaps it's Pastor Mark. But there's some adult along the way who has taught you and helped to remind you of God's word and how we are to live his life as his people. The rest of the lessons for today, although they don't mention mothers, and they don't mention the Ten Commandments and our obedience to them, nonetheless, they tell us what God has done for us. That even in the midst of our sin, when we are dead in our sin and trespasses, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, to go to the cross, to give up his life. All of our sins were placed on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he paid the penalty for each and every one of our sins. Jesus calls us to repentance. Jesus calls us to trust in him, but he also tells us of the joy of our salvation and the joy of being obedient children of God. Because there's no question about it when we read this Psalm 1, there's no question about it that we can see joy because it says, he is like a person who follows the law. He is like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Whatever we do prospers when we follow the will of God. And in that prosperity that God gives us, we have ample opportunities to share that prosperity with others and to experience the joy of what it means to be a child of God, to live in his kingdom and to reach out and to touch the lives of other people in significant ways. Jesus wants us to know the importance of the love that he has for us. So important is the love that Jesus has for us. In the gospel lesson for today, which we call the great priestly prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus, he goes to God and he pleads our case before God in the gospel lesson for today. And he says, Father, I ask that you not take them out of the world, but that you protect them in the world so that my joy may be full in them. Jesus has went to the cross, suffered, died, and rose again, and gives us the promise of salvation so that our joy might be full. In John 15, chapter 11, our text for today is John 17, but in John 16, chapter 11, John writes these that Jesus quoted. Quoting Jesus, says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. See, Jesus obeyed all the commandments. He fulfilled all of God's law. Even though we cannot, Jesus did that. And we are given Jesus' innocence by God. We stand before God totally innocent of all of our sins. You made your confession a moment ago. You heard the words of absolution. All of our sins are wiped away by the power of God. Now and what? Forever. Forever we live in the joy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, in that psalm also, judgment is inherent, isn't it? It says, blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. But then it continues, the wicked are not like that. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Many of you are from the Midwest where there's wheat fields, right, and grain growing, and the grain is threshed, and what happens to the chaff, that's the skins on the seeds, it just blows away, right? Just blows away. And that's what God is saying, that sinners will just disappear. They'll disappear from the face of the earth. Therefore, the wicked will not stand the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God's word is very clear about that. The way of the wicked will perish. Will perish. Be gone. But we who trust in Jesus, will live forever and ever and ever by our obedience to the law. But when we fail, what do we have? Paul says we have a counselor, a lawyer, if you will, an attorney, perhaps you might call him. But we have our Lord Jesus, who goes before God and pleads our case for us. And if that's not enough, the Holy Spirit, with sighs too deep for words, goes before God on our behalf. All of the persons of the Godhead are in this for you and for me and for those who come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in faith. Now, there have been times, I'm sure, if you're like me, when we've not honored our mothers. And there have been times when we've probably not honored our dads either. But even those sins have been washed away by our God. And we look forward to that joyous reunion in heaven when we will rejoin our parents. It'll be a different experience. Jesus tells us that there'll be no marriage as we know it now, right? When the people came to him and said, Jesus, what happens when a lady whose many husbands goes to heaven, whose wives will she be? And Jesus said, there's no giving and taking in marriage in heaven. We don't know what it'll be, but we do know it will be glorious. The scriptures tell us we'll receive a new body, a spiritual body, and we'll live in the presence of our Lord forever and ever in a peace that is beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. Norma and I thought we had moved to a place of peace when we moved up the island, and we have. We live off the road in the woods and have no close neighbors, and we hear no traffic except occasionally the rescue helicopter goes over our house on the way to the hospital. Occasionally, we may hear one of the jets as they fly south from the OLF, but basically, we have peace. But that peace does not compare at all to the peace that God has prepared for all of us in his presence. In Psalm 51, verse 7, I'm going to read that for you. We have what the psalmist tells us is how we become connected to God and the joy of that. Let me read it real quickly. Psalm 57, Psalm 51, verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17, we read this. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. When we come before God in true sorrow for our sins, repenting of them, it tells us that God will not despise us. I tell you, I really loved it when my mom would give me a hug after I went and pleaded for her forgiveness. She'd give me a hug and say, there, son, I forgive you. Imagine how much more meaningful it is when God reaches out to you through Pastor Mark and says, I forgive you all your sins. All of the sins are washed away, and you're a new person with a new opportunity to rise up and to serve God. Jesus said to us, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus himself says that. He spoke to God, and he asked God to fill us with his joy and peace. And he himself tells us that has happened. You are the redeemed children of God. You are the restored children of God. Your mothers are an opportunity for you to continue to worship and serve God as you recall the discipline of your parents as you grew up, as you recall the discipline that you dispensed on your own children as they grew up, as the emissaries of God, caring for the creatures, the people whom God has brought into this world to continue to complete his kingdom. Blessed are you who walk not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed are you who do not stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. Blessed are you whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, Amen. Amen. We rise.